9, chapter 16, verses 34 until the end, and all of chapter 17, and chapter 18, verses 1 and 2.
So.
And then if we have time, we'll say something. So, verse 34. Saho vacha madhu chandaha.
Saho vacha madhu chandaha.
Saram pancha shata tata.
Saram pancha shata tata.
Yanobhavan sanjanite.
Yanobhavan sanjanite.
Tasming stishta mahe vayam.
Tasming stishta mahe vayam.
Chia.
Sahovacha madhu chanda.
Sahovacha mashu tanda.
Sardam pancha shata tata.
Sardam pancha shata tata.
Yanno bhavan sanjanite.
Yanno bhavan sanjanite.
Tasmim stishta mahe vayam.
Tasmim stishta mahe vayam. Ladies.
Saho
vacha madhu chanda.
Sadam pancha sata tata.
Sadam pancha sata tata.
Yanno bhavan sanjanite. Yanno bhavan sanjanite.
Yanno bhavan sanjanite.
Tasmin stishta.
Tasmin stishta mahe vayam.
Saho vacha madhu chagadam.
Saho vacha madhu chandaha.
Sardam pancha sita tata.
Sardam pancha sita tata.
Yanno bhavan sajanite.
Yanno bhavan sajanite.
Tasmin tishta mahe vayam.
Tasmin tishta mahe vayam.
Saho vacha madhu chanda.
Saho vacha madhu chanda.
Sadam pacha shata tata.
Sadam pacha shata tata.
Yanno bhavan sanjanite.
Yanno bhavan sanjanite.
Tasmin tishta mahe vayam.
Tasmin tishta mahe vayam. Saha.
Saha.
The middle son of Vishwamitra.
The middle son
of Vishwamitra.
Ha.
Indeed.
Indeed.
Uvacha.
Uvacha.
Said.
Said.
Maruchandaha.
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 Sardam.
With.
With.
Panchashata.
Panchashata.
The second 50 sons.
Known
as the Maruchandas.
Known as Maruchandas.
Tata.
Tata.
Then after the first half.
Then after the first half.
Were thus cursed.
Cursed.
Yet.
Yet.
What?
What?
Naha.
Naha.
Unto us.
Unto us.
Bhavan.
Bhavan.
O Father.
O Father.
Sanjanite.
Sanjanite.
As you please.
As you please.
Tasmin.
Tasmin.
In that.
In that.
Tishta mahe.
Tishta mahe.
Shall remain.
Shall
remain. Vayam.
Vayam.
All of this.
All of this.
Translation. When the elder Madhuchandas were cursed, the younger 50, along with Madhuchanda himself, approached their father and agreed to accept his proposal. Dear father, they said, we shall abide by whatever arrangement you like. Thus the younger Madhuchandas accepted Shrinishefa as their eldest brother and told him, we shall follow your orders. Vishwamitra then said to his obedient sons, because you have accepted Shrinishefa as your eldest brother, I am very satisfied. By accepting my order, you have made me a father of worthy sons, and therefore I bless all of you to become the fathers of sons also. Purport. Of the 100 sons, half disobeyed Vishwamitra by not accepting Shrinishefa as their eldest brother. The other half accepted his order. Therefore, the father blessed the obedient sons to become the fathers of sons. Otherwise, they too would have been cursed to be sonless. Malechus. Oh, not only Malechus, no sons. Heavy curse. 36. Vishwamitra said, O Kushikas, descendants of Kaushika, this Devarati is my son and is one of you. Please obey his orders. O King Parikshit, Vishwamitra had many other sons, such as Ashtaka, Harita, Jaya, and Kratuman. Vishwamitra cursed some of his sons and blessed the others, and he also adopted a son. Thus there were varieties in the Kaushika dynasty, but among all the sons, Devarata was considered the eldest. Chapter 70, Dynasties of the Sons of Puruva. Shukadeva Goswami said, from Puruva came a son named Ayu, whose very powerful sons were Nahusha, Kshatrivritta, Raji, Rava, and Anena. O Maharaj Pariksit, now hear about the dynasty of Kshatrivritta. Kshatrivritta's son was Suhotra, who had three sons named Kasya, Kusha, and Gritsamada. From Gritsamada came Shivaka, and from him came Shonaka, the great saint, the best of those conversant with the Rig Veda. So we got mixed Kshatriyas and Brahmanas here in this list. One Brahmana came out, Shonaka. The son of Kasya was Kashi. His son was Rashtra, the father of Dhirgatama. Dhirgatama had a son named Dhanvantari, who was the inaugurator of the medical science and an incarnation of Lord Vasudeva, the enjoyer of the results of sacrifices. One who remembers the name of Dhanvantari can be released from all disease. So, any of you have a disease here? Remember Dhanvantari, and you'll be freed from all disease. The son of Dhanvantari was Ketuman, and his son was Bhimarata. Son of Bhimarata was Devadasa. Son of Devadasa was Dhyuman, also known as Pratardana. Dhyuman was also known as Satyajit, Vatsa, Ritadaj, and Kuvalasya. From him were born Alarka and other sons. Alarka, the son of Dhyuman, reigned over the earth for 66,000 years, my dear King Parikshit. No one other than him has reigned over the earth for so long as a young man. Imagine that. From Alarka came a son named Santati, and his son was Sunita. The son of Sunita was Niketana. Son of Niketana was Dharmaketu. Son of Dharmaketu was Satiketu. O King Parikshit, from Satiketu came a son named Dhishtaketu. From Dhishtaketu came Sukumara, emperor of the entire world. From Sukumara came a son named Vittihotra. From Vittihotra, Bharga. From Bharga, Bharga, Bhumi. O Maharaj Parikshit, all of these kings were descendants of Kashi. They could also be called descendants of Kshatrivritta. The son of Rava was Ravasa. From Ravasa came Gambira. From Gambira came a son named Akriya. Son of Akriya was known as Brahmavit, O king. Now hear about the descendants of Anena. From Anena came a son named Shuddha, and his son was Shuchi. Son of Shuchi was Dharmasarati, also called Chitrakrit. From Chitrakrit was born a son named Shantaraj, a self-realized soul who performed all kinds of Vedic ritualistic ceremonies and therefore did not forget any progeny. The sons of Raji were 500, all very powerful. On the request of the demigods Raji, Raji killed the demons and thus returned the kingdom of heaven to Lord Indra. But Indra, fearing such demons as Prahlad, returned the kingdom of heaven to Raji and surrendered himself at Raji's lotus feet. Upon Raji's death, Indra begged Raji's sons for the return of the heavenly planet. They did not return it, however, although they agreed to return Indra's shares in ritualistic ceremonies. Purport. Raji conquered the kingdom of heaven, and therefore when Indra, the heavenly king, begged Raji's sons to return it, they refused. Because they had not taken the heavenly kingdom from Indra, but had inherited it from their father. They considered it their paternal property. Why then should they return it to the demigods? So, trouble in the heavenly planets. Thereafter, Brihaspati, the spiritual master of the demigods, offered oblations in the fire so the sons of Raji would fall from moral principles. When they fell, Lord Indra killed them easily because of their degradation. Not a single one of them remained alive. From Kusha, the grandson of Kshatrivritta, was born a son named Prati. The son of Prati was Sanjay, and the son of Sanjay was Jaya. From Jaya, Krita was born, from Krita, King Haryabala. From Haryabala came a son named Sahadev, and from Sahadev came Hina. Son of Hina was Jayasen, and the son of Jayasen was Sankriti. The son of Sankriti was the powerful and expert fighter named Jaya. These kings were the members of the Kshatrivritta dynasty. Now, let me describe to you the dynasty of Nahusha. Thoughts and the purports of the 9th canto, 17th chapter, entitled Dynasties of the Sons of Puruva. Chapter 18, King Yayati regains his youth. Text 1. Shukeri Gosami said, O King Parikshit, as the embodied soul has six senses, King Nehoshi had six sons named Yati, Yayati, Sanyati, Ayati, Vyati, and Kriti. Text 2. When one enters the post of king or head of the government, one cannot understand the meaning of self-realization. Knowing this, Yati, the eldest son of Nahusha, did not accept the power to rule, although it was offered by his father. Purport. Self-realization is the prime objective of human civilization, and it is regarded seriously by those who are situated in the mode of goodness and have developed the rabbinical qualities. Kshatriyas are generally endowed with material qualities conducive to gaining material wealth and enjoying sense gratification. So that means artha and kama. But those who are spiritually advanced are not interested in material opulence. Indeed, they accept only the bare necessities for a life of spiritual advancement and self-realization. It is specifically mentioned here that if one enters political life, especially in the modern day, one loses the chance for human perfection. Nonetheless, one can attain the highest perfection if one hears Srimad Bhagavatam. This hearing is described as Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya. Maharaj Pariksha was involved in politics, but because at the end of his life he heard Srimad Bhagavatam from Shukadeva Goswami, he attained perfection very easily. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has therefore suggested, Stane stita shritika tantanuva manobhi ye praya shojita jito vyasitais chirokyam. Regardless of whether one is in the mode of passion, ignorance, or goodness, if one regularly hears Srimad Bhagavatam from the self-realized soul and is free from the bondage of material involvement. Mukam karoti vachalam bhagam langhate girim yakipam tamaham mande shikaram kibacharinam om jnana timirandasya gyananjara shakaya chakshir miritam yena tasavai shikaravi namaha. So, we're reading from Bhagavatam again, Canto 9, Chapter 16, from 34 to the end of the chapter, Chapter 17, and also Chapter 18, verses 1 and 2. So, this verse, Prabhupada encourages us to hear. The most important thing is to hear. And this is very important. He's talking about the political leaders, that it's very difficult for them to get perfection because they're interested in sense gratification and opulence and money. And so this is the symptom of everybody in this material world. They're interested in sense gratification and money to get it. Most people, this is the purpose of life, to enjoy. So this is actually the back of Krishna, actually the front of Krishna. There is religion. There is, in the beginning of creation, it's described that religion came from the heart of the Lord, and irreligion came from the back. So when we turn our back on Krishna, then we see his back. And if we're in the sunshine, we turn our back on the sun, then we would just see a shadow, a black shadow. So Krishna Surya Sam Maya Hoy Andakar Jaha Krishna Tahamahi. Nahi, Maya Otikar. Krishna is like the sun and Maya is like darkness. When we turn our back to the sun, then we only see darkness. Prabhupada gave the example. If you fly in an airplane and you go west in the daytime, you take your flight in the day and you go west, you will never see the sunset if you keep on flying in your airplane. So if we put ourselves in the sunshine of Krishna consciousness, then we will never see the darkness of ignorance. So how to find the truth of religion, dharma? In Mahabharata it says, Tarko Pratishta Shutayo Vipinna. Simply by arguments, by issues and arguing, you will not find the truth. You will not come to the right conclusion. You may be a very good arguer, but somebody else can defeat you by his argument. So by dry arguments, you cannot come to the conclusion. People, when they argue, basically they want to win. They don't care what the truth is, mostly. So that's why Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, I am Vada, I am the truth among those who argue. I am the actual truth. And so by simply charko pratishta, by argument, you cannot find the truth. And shrutayo vibhinna, there's so many different scriptures and Vedas. If you try to search the Vedas for the truth for Krishna, it's very difficult. He's hidden in the Vedas. As Brahma Samhita, it says, Vedeshu durlabham. It is very difficult to find Krishna in the Vedas. Adurlabham, atma bhaktam. But for the devotee, easy. Not difficult to find Krishna. So yes, Prabhupada has given us Krishna, that's why. And also, Nasa Munir Yasya Matam Nabhyanam. There's so many philosophers. If you study philosophers, you won't find a conclusion. You won't find the truth. Very difficult, because you're not considered a philosopher unless you have a different philosophy. Unless you have a different philosophy, you're not a bona fide philosopher in the modern sense of the term. So they all have a different idea. They have a different conclusion. And Prabhupada was talking about, he was talking with Shyamasundar in this book, Dialectic Spiritualism, and they all have different philosophies. So how can you find the conclusion? Therefore, Dharmasya Tatam Nihitam Guhayam. The truth is found in the heart of the pure devotee. So to understand it, therefore, Mahajano Yena Kata Sapanta. We have to follow the footsteps of the pure devotee. So Prabhupada is giving us Krishna. We are very fortunate that he is took his time to go in his old age to print the books and to go to America. And there's a story from India, Hyderabad. Prabhupada was there and in a judge's house, and he was talking about separation from Krishna. And there was one, our devotees were there, Malati and her daughter, 4-year-old Saraswati. And the judge had given a deity of Krishna to Saraswati. And the Prabhupada, he took that deity and he hid it from Saraswati. So when she came into the room, she was looking, well, where's my Krishna? Where's Krishna? And she's looking under the cushions, looking behind the curtains, looking under the rug, and she couldn't find. So one devotee gave her a hint. Who has Krishna? Her eyes got big, and she looked at Srila Prabhupada. Prabhupada has Krishna. So he pulled Krishna from behind his back and gave Krishna to Saraswati. So Prabhupada is giving us Krishna. He has Krishna. Krishna se tomar, Krishna dite para. You have Krishna, and you have the power to give Krishna to us. So the process of devotional service is the best. And this process is described in the first canto, second chapter. So, Srimatam Sukhatam Krishna Punya Shavana Kirtana. That always chanting and hearing about Krishna, this is punya, this is pious activities. And if you do this, if you always hear, like Prabhupada said in this purport, Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya, you always hear Bhagavatam, hear Krishna Katha, then Krishna in the heart will clean your heart of all the dirty things. He will, and if you have developed the urge to hear his messages. So by chanting and hearing about Krishna, we create punya, we create bhakti pious activities. And every mantra, I think I mentioned this before, every mantra we chant, every mouth of prasadam we eat, is going into our spiritual bank account. And when our bank account becomes full, we can purchase Krishna. So if we're serious to hear, then Krishna helps us from within. He cleans all the dirty things from our heart because he's Suvitsatam. He is our dear friend. So then the next verse in that series, these verses are so important because Prabhupada, he quoted them when he arrived in America on the Jaladuta. He quoted these verses. So verse 18, Nashta Prayesha Bhadeshu Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya Bhagavatutama Shloke Bhaktir Bhavati Naishtiki. That by worship, by regular attendance of Bhagavatam class and serving the pure devotee, all that is inauspicious in the heart becomes destroyed, almost to nil. Not quite 100%. And when it becomes destroyed almost to nil, you come Bhaktir Bhavati Naishtiki. You come to the level of Nishta, firm faith. So Prabhupada in the purpose says, here is the remedy for eliminating all inauspicious things in the heart which are obstacles in the path of self-realization. The remedy is the association of the Bhagavatas. So Bhagavat Seva means Tadiya Seva, not approaching Bhagavan directly. We cannot approach the Lord directly, we have to go through the devotee. So therefore Bhagavata, we serve the Bhagavatas, means a person who has dedicated his life, that 24 hours, not a single moment is wasted. He's engaged in Bhagavata Sevaya, Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya. So that includes, Prabhupada says, Gita, Bhagavatam, the Guru, Tulsi, the temple, preaching, the books, these are all Bhagavata. So when you engage in this service, you're doing Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya. So every day or every moment, we have to remember Bhagavatam. Then all the dirty things, almost, from our heart will be removed. So almost, what does it mean, almost all? That is, Prabhupada describes 75%, that's passion and ignorance. When passion and ignorance are removed from our heart, then we come to Nishta. Sounds simple? No. Not easy. Not easy to get through anartha nivritti. Very difficult. So again, Chaitanya Charitamrita says how Gaura-Nitai are here to help us. Vande Shri Krishna Chaitanya Nityananda Sahauditao Gaudadai Pushpantao Chitao Sandatamonudao. I offer my respectful obeisances to Shri Krishna Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda, who are like the sun and moon. They've arisen simultaneously on the horizon of Gaura to dissipate the darkness of ignorance and wonderfully bestow benediction upon all. And so the sun and the moon outside, they dissipate the darkness of this external world. And so Chaitanya Charitamrita says they reveal external material objects like pots and plates. But these two brothers, Gaura-Nitai, they dissipate the darkness of the inner core of our heart, and they help us meet the two Bhagavatas. So what happens after we meet the two Bhagavatas? Then we get bhakti. They clean our heart. The Lord cleans our heart. The Bhagavatas give us bhakti. And the Lord in the heart comes under the control of his devotee. So if we hear attentively Bhagavatam, by the mercy of Gaura-Nitai, we meet the two kinds of Bhagavatas. We get Krishna Prema, and Krishna comes under our control. So then the next verse in that series, what happens next? Tada! So at this time, when Rajas Tamo are gone, when Raja and Tamagun, Kama Loba are taken from our heart, Cheta Eta Anavidham Stitam Sattva Prasidati, we come to the mode of goodness. As soon as irrevocable, as soon as Nishta is there, then the effects of passion and ignorance disappear, and we're establishing goodness, and he becomes happy. Prasidati, very happy. So in goodness we're happy, also we are balanced. Goodness indicates that the modes of material nature are balanced. We may have a little passion and ignorance, 75% are gone, might be a little trace there, but it doesn't control us, but we control it. We don't lament, we don't hanker. That's passion and ignorance. Ignorance is lamentation, and passion is hankering for something. Also, past and future. Past is lamentation, or we're lamenting for something we lost, or something that happened in the past. So ignorance is, you're living in the past, pretty much, when you're lamenting. And hankering is for the future, something you don't have. Passion, so you gotta get impassioned to get it. You have to work hard. So hankering and lamentation, they're finished from the heart. We come to the mode of goodness. Because here it says, vidam, what is pinching our heart? What is causing a fire, blazing fire in our heart? That is passion and ignorance. And so when that fire is extinguished, we come to goodness and we become happy. Tada, at that time. At that time, what does this mean, at that time? When you have become a true brahmana in the mode of goodness. So Prabhupada says, therefore, we're trying in our movement to bring everyone to the platform of Brahmana. We give second initiation. Now he's Brahman. So when you become a true Brahman, when you you say, now I'll devote my whole life to Krishna consciousness, then you can be in the world of goodness. Bhakti Charu Maharaj, Prabhupada was speaking to him when he first met him, and he told him, you have spent billions of lifetimes in sense gratification. Just give this one life to Krishna. And if you want, you can have billions more. Oh, this is nishtha. I'll give this one life to Krishna. So when one is in nishtha, then one can be satisfied, actually. So verse 20, the next verse. Evam prasanna manaso bhagavat bhakti yogata bhagavatatta vigyana mukta sangha sajayate. So as established in the mode of unalloyed goodness, now we're going from goodness to unalloyed goodness, the man whose mind has been enlightened by contact with devotional service to the Lord gains positive scientific knowledge of the personality of Godhead in the stage of liberation from all material association. So what happens next when we come to the mode of goodness? Now we have to go to unalloyed goodness, and we get knowledge. We get knowledge in the heart. Everything is happening in the heart. First we were hearing and chanting, and the Lord in the heart was cleaning our heart. And then almost all the dirty things in our heart are gone. And then lust and greediness are removed from the heart. And then we become joyful. Prasanna manaso. We become very happy. Evam prasanna manaso. So we'll always be happy. And if you're not happy, that means Maya has attacked. So here's a test. If you come to nishtha, if you're in the mode of goodness, that means you're always jolly. You're always happy. And if you're not always happy, must be ignorance or passion there a little bit, bringing you down. So, we must always nityam bhagavata sevaya and kirtanaya sadahari, and then we can keep ourselves in the mode of goodness. Always follow the instructions of the spiritual master, and you will keep yourself in goodness. So the last verse. Vidyate hridaya granti shityante savasamshaya kshiyante chasi karmani dijte vatmanishane. Thus a knot in the heart is pierced, all misgivings are cut to pieces. The chain of fruitive actions is terminated when one sees a self as master. So I'm going to ask a question, and if you've already heard this class, don't give the answer to the others. So the knot in the heart is pierced. What is the knot in the heart? One word in Sanskrit or two words in English? Yeah, you got it. Ahankara, very good. Ahankara, false ego, is the knot in the heart. So when this knot is pierced, all misgivings are cut to pieces. So, okay, now next question. If you have a knot, it means it's tying something together. So what is the knot in the heart tying together?
Identification of this body and everything.
Yeah, tying...
Soul and matter.
Soul and matter, very good. Yeah, and you're both correct. Identity means it's tying your soul to the body. The soul and the body is tying together the identification. So we think I'm this body. That's ahankara. Or spirit and matter, or soul and body. Yeah, either way to look at it. So that's what is tying together. And by this process, we can become free from this knot in the heart. So Prabhupada says that it's very important in our spiritual life that we have to simultaneously cultivate Krishna consciousness, at the same time give up on artas. He says in the lecture on this verse, two things must go in parallel lines. You must do the positive side, and also you must give up the unwanted things. Avoid offenses. This is a symptom of the clearing stage of chanting. When you are attentively hearing the holy name, at the same time, you're avoiding the 10 offenses. So the analogy is given that if you plant some chickpeas in the ground, they will grow nicely. But if you fry the chickpeas first, then you try to plant them, they will not grow. So when we perform devotional service, our karma is being fried, and it will not have a chance to grow. So that's why chanting and performing devotional service is so important, because this is the way we can become free from all of our karma. And the prayer part of this verse is very beautiful. Prabhupada says, the Lord says, in order to show special favor to his pure devotees, he personally eradicates the dense darkness of all misgivings by switching on the light of pure knowledge in the heart of the devotee. So there's a switch in your heart, and Krishna one day will come and push that switch of knowledge, and you'll get it. Oh, yes, Krishna, I am a servant of Krishna. It's very simple knowledge. So because here it says, because of that, the Lord's taking charge of illuminating the heart of a devotee, certainly a devotee engaged in his service cannot remain in darkness. So paragraph two, then the second paragraph, he talks about the knot in the heart. He says, enlightenment comes from the Lord in the heart when the devotee submissively hears in parampara. And this enlightenment enables the devotee to distinguish spirit from matter, because the knot of spirit and matter is untied by the Lord. So isn't that nice? How do we get rid of this knot? Krishna unties it for us. When we chant, when we hear submissively in parampara, the message of Krishna consciousness. And as soon as the knot is loosened, the clouds of doubt are blown away. He sees his master and he engages in transcendental loving service of the Lord. So this is, Prabhupada has given us a wonderful process to follow to get change of heart. So if we remain faithful to Prabhupada and enthusiasm and patience, we try to serve even during the difficult time of an arjuna vritti. Don't give up. Don't give up. Keep going. Then we will one day see Krishna face. Of course, we see Krishna face to face every day. But one day we will attain perfection, and we'll come to the level of ruchi and be very enthusiastic and have a taste for everything, all little things of devotional service. So it's described that now we're struggling. It's like going up a mountain. An arjuna vritti is like going up a mountain. When we get to the top, it's nishta, actually. The nishta is the point of balance, the top of the mountain. And then after nishta, when we go to ruchi, it's like going downhill. It's much easier. We flow down to the ocean of Krishna. And once we get to the top nishta is, it's not all the way. It's just halfway nishta. You just have to get halfway, and then after it becomes easier. And then we flow ruchi, asakti, bhava, they all flow very, very easily. And we will capture the Lord in the heart, as it says in the second verse of Bhagavatam. Sadhyo hridayodate kritibi shishushubis takshanat. So this is our process, and we are very fortunate to have it. So we just need to appreciate our good fortune and practice with enthusiasm and patience. And the day will come when we will get through the forest of an arjuna vritti. Hare Krishna. Confirmed. So, any questions or comments on all these verses?
So I'm thinking how Prabhupada explains it very nicely when he simply says, we cannot give up the lower taste until we have the higher taste.
Right.
So I was thinking how Krishna consciousness works. And then we have, within the movement at the moment, a very big push to establish Pranashram Dharma, mm-hmm. all of these things. And I was thinking, it definitely supports, it's like a net when the social and cultural, you know, environment is set like that. It's in many ways a safer environment. It's easier for people to, mm-hmm. you know, go on a day-to-day basis without being, you know, overwhelmed, say, by the objects of the senses unnecessarily. Mm-hmm. could put it that way. But at the same time, I think we spend so much time at the moment talking about Varnashram Dharma. I mean, there's books coming out and there's Varnashram Dharma for hundreds and thousands of pages, and there's not one word about Krishna. And with the result that people can come to the movement in certain areas of the movement, in certain countries, and come to this area, and they don't get the chance, especially the Matajis, they don't get the chance to lead a kirtan or to do certain services, and they don't have that taste. They don't have that taste. And I was listening to one class recently, and then without that taste, they're, certain individuals feel they're giving them a higher status and a better, you know, they must have like this, but actually they're not giving them, you know, they're not exposing them to Krishna consciousness. They're not giving them that taste. And therefore, you know, many of them are leaving. So I thought it was interesting. I was listening to a class. I was meditating on that recently, on that dilemma. Of course, there's always going to be devotees that feel more comfortable in that kind of environment, you know. And if it's not forced, what's the harm? If they feel that they need that kind of environment and may join immediately and may embrace it like that, and, you know. But there is always going to be those who, you know, it's Kali Yuga and we're just not going to fit into the round plug. No matter how much you push us, we're square.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so when I was listening to this one class Prabhupada was giving, and one devotee was asking a question afterwards, and he said, Prabhupada, you know, when these people come and we try to explain to them that they must give up, and Prabhupada said, no, he stopped him, midway to question. And he said to him, we don't do like that. Prabhupada said, we cannot expect that people can come immediately and they can accept that they're not a body, and women can behave like this and men can behave like that. He said, first, he said, we must, he said, give them higher taste. He said, so therefore, the chanting, the prasadam, and then he said, they can give up the lower taste.
Right.
Because without having a taste for Krishna, how can we give up the lower taste? So I just think, it's a, you know, it's a paradox within our movement that, you know, we're struggling as a movement to, for devotees to keep the basics, chant our rounds every day, you know, follow four regular principles, keep marriages together, you know, raise children with respect, at the same time, you know, expose them to Krishna consciousness in a way that's going to be mature enough for them to respect you and to accept the process without feelings of force. And at the same time, we have this vision so far-fetched on Varnashram Dharma.
Well, you missed a class. I gave a class on Varnashram 2 days ago. Actually, and how, and I was giving examples from Prithu Maharaj, how it's based on love.
Yeah.
The King Prithu, there's a verse in Bhagavatam, and the verse says that he was instructing, my dear citizens, you please perform your Varnashram duties out of love for me, because then it will be better for me in my next life.
Mm-hmm.
So he wasn't saying, you have to do this, you have to do that. He said, out of your love for me, it will be good for me if you can follow your, because I'm the king, and he gets the reactions to all the sinful activities. So it was never forced. It was a culture of respect. But now what we see in India is not the true Varnashram. There was one article in Back to Godhead where they had three types of Varnashram: Daiva Varnashram, Asuric Varnashram, and natural Varnashram. So the Daiva Varnashram is based on qualification, qualities, and Guna Karma, as Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Guna Karma Vibhagasha. And the Asuric Varnashram is based on birth and your material body. And the goal is to become the highest, the Brahman. And so in India they have the caste Brahmins. But it's by birth, and so they're not respected because they're not following the Brahminical quality. They don't have the Brahminical qualities. Then there's the natural Varnashram, which you find all over the world. Some people are naturally Brahmin, some are naturally Kshatriya, some are naturally Shudra, some are naturally Vaishya. So that's the natural one. And the goal there is also to get money. And the highest person in that one is who has the most money. So it's also not proper Vanashram. But previously it was practiced. It was a culture of respect. But Prabhupada gave us something that he was giving us the chance to transcend Vanashram, because none of us are in Vanashram. We're all considered outside. And he quotes Bhagavad Gita, Striya Vaishastata Shudas, Te Piyanti Parangatim. If they surrender to me, Krishna says, they can all achieve the highest perfection. Whether stri, woman, vaisha, shudra, and in Kali Yuga, everyone is in these categories. So, therefore, everyone has an equal chance to go back to Godhead and to be a devotee. So this is the important thing, and this is confirmed in Srimad Bhagavatam. The purpose of Vanashram is sangsidhir haditoshanam, to please the Lord. So if someone is, and Prabhupada gave us that from the beginning. Yeah, he didn't try to say, okay, you're a Shudra, you're a Brahmin. He just said, chant Hare Krishna. Mm. And he did give us that higher taste. We were out on Harinam 10 hours a day. We really had a very much a higher taste, and we would do anything for him because out of love. Prabhupada gave us a culture of love, not force. He didn't force us to do anything. Everything was based on love. And out of love for him, then we followed the four regulative principles, and we chanted and danced. And he did not tell us all the rules and regulations. Now, indeed, he worshipped there so much. We didn't have any mudras or mantras. We just had Govinda Madhi Purusham. That was all we had. And it was quite different procedure. And so, yeah, it's real Varnashram is based on love. And if somebody has transcended, if somebody is engaged in devotional service 24 hours, then he should not be made to go down to the Varnashram level. I just read in Chaitanya Charitamrita, the conversations of Ramananda Roy, and Prabhupada said that Vanashram is material. It's a material thing. It's not a spiritual thing. It can help, but it's not. So Lord Chaitanya rejected it. This is external. That was the first thing Ramananda Roy said when Lord Chaitanya asked, what is the goal of life? Vanashram, no. This is external. And the first thing he said many no's, and then finally he said yes to the verse that we quoted today. Anyway, the one where you just stay in your position and hear about Krishna. Shutikatan tanuvam anobir. Stane stita shutikatan tanuvam. He said, yes, just hear. So that's what we did. He spoke and we heard and we got the higher taste to be able to give up our... So it's not good to say, okay, now you have to go back to material life. Unless you go to material life, you can't make progress. It's not going to work. It has to be based on love. And we'll naturally go. Prabhupada wanted a society of Brahmins, and so that's how he trained us. He trained us to be Brahmins. And some of us kept that up. And many didn't keep that up. They went to their natural level as Vaishyas or Kshatriyas or whatever. Many went to their natural level, but still they're doing devotional service, so it's okay. I mean, we don't consider them Vaishyas and Shudras and like that because they're doing devotional service to Krishna if you're doing it for Krishna. But if you go outside, that's another thing. And you don't do any, if your house is not a temple, if you don't offer your food, then you're no longer. So then for those people, Varnashram would be good, that they could offer the fruits of their work to Krishna, offer their fruits. Anyway, it's you could do days on this topic, I saw the quote in the Vyasa Puja book last year or year before. I think it was year before, where Prabhupada that quote to Bhakti Charu Maharaj, and Prabhupada said to him, just before he left his body, so 50% is not done yet. For those people who cannot take up Krishna consciousness, we need Varnashram. Dharma. We need those for people who cannot give up everything and follow. We need that. for them.
But by so many places as well, Prabhupada quotes where he says, a Vaishnava is higher than the Brahmin.
Yeah, a Vaishnava is higher. Right, right. And that's what he gave us. He gave us that position of a Vaishnava. He gave us that position of a servant of Krishna. So it would be artificial for us to try to, do that. I've heard so many things. One of my, I think it was my God says, she says, if you don't have a husband, you should just go serve some man. And then you're like, otherwise you can't make progress. And spirit, this is illicit sex, This is not Varnashram Dharma. I mean, people have crazy ideas of Varnashram Dharma. That was the craziest one I heard. It's written, you should serve some man because without the man's help, you can't make progress. Well, anyway, it's not so simple. We have to see Prabhupada's application. That's very, very important. Not only the quotes, what he said, we have to see how did he apply the philosophy. How did he treat the women? How did he treat all the Malechas who were from the West? Everybody was Malecha. Everybody is a Malecha. How did he treat the Malechas? How did he treat the Shudras? How did he treat the women? How did he treat the Vaishyastri? And how did he apply the philosophy to them? He put everybody out on Harinam and deity worship, and that's why the caste Brahmanas complained in India. Because you're giving sannyas to these Malechas. You're making them Brahmins. They're doing puja. They must take another birth first as Brahmins. Mm. But actually, in one purport in fifth canto, Prabhupada said, when we chant Hare Krishna, we're changing our subtle body, and that means we're taking another birth. Or we're changing our body. We're changing our subtle body, because it's the subtle body that's going to give you your next gross body. He says, we're having the subtle body of Brahmins and Vaishnavas. When we get initiation and when we practice the principles of Brahminical culture, then we have changed our bodies. They just look and they say, oh, this is a Westerner, can't go into Jagannath Puri temple. They let in so many people who are eating meat, not following any principles, they're allowed. But the ones who are following the Vaishnava principles, they no. Anyway, so you have to see not only the quotes that Prabhupada said, but also his application. Very important. Because that's the history. How did Prabhupada apply the Varnasha? Well, he said he didn't so much. That was unfinished. But how did he did apply the principles of Krishna consciousness, and he was equal to everyone. He allowed everyone to progress in spiritual life. It didn't matter. And there is a purport I just read, and he said, doesn't matter. He said, if anyone, even if you're Stri, Shudra, or Vaishya, or Brahma Bandhu, you can all be transcendental and do transcendental devotional service to Krishna. Anyway, it's based on love. It's a culture of respect. And that's the problem in India, that the Brahmins are putting everybody else down. And so they're not respected they don't respect anyone, and so they're not respected. Mm. In the villages sometimes, they saw our brahmacharis one time, and the women were very upset because they thought, well, here's some Brahmins again, and then they wanted to fight with them. But then when they realized that they were devotees, that they weren't like the caste Brahmins, then they accepted them. So this is the problem. We don't want to follow the mistakes that India is making. Yeah. That India has made.
Plus, if we accept Varnashram Dharma, try to apply Varnashram Dharma based on, say, the traditional roles, the problem is that they're not necessarily the roles that Prabhupada applied. For example, if you look at Prabhupada's letters, there's a letter, it's been proposed that he wanted children, girls, to learn how to sew, learn how to cook, and find a husband. But actually, if you go through Prabhupada's letters, which I've done for 6 months back a year ago,
you will find letter after letter where Prabhupada tells the devotee, it's so nice that your Subhadra has such a taste for the Sankirtan party. She will be a very big asset to our movement in the future.
With Malati's daughter Saraswati said, so Saraswati Maharaj, she should learn Sanskrit. And she can be like Jiva Goswami and defeat all others when she grows up.
Yeah, I mean, it's there in black and white, but Prabhupada's saying, man, woman, child, I want them all out in the Sankirtan party. Why have you taken the women off the streets?
Now, that was in New Vrindavan, they did that.
Why has Kirtananda taken the women off the streets and told them that they should stay back and do deity worship? I want them back on the Sankirtan party. He said, this is America. Where they see women differently, and we want to spread Krishna consciousness all over the world. These letters are there. So if we try to imply Varnashram Dharma should be done in a traditional sense where women have a particular role, it's against what Prabhupada established in that sense.
Well, what I see is that how Prabhupada did it is he had us do both at the same time. That not only we were out on Sankirtan and doing deity worship, we were at the same time mothers. And we were also wives, and we're grandmothers. I don't see how, you know, it's either one or the other. It's not one or the other. Prabhupada had us do both at the same time. We were in our roles as wives. We were in our roles as mothers. But he did not allow women to stay with fallen husbands. Rukmini, my god sister, her husband took a second wife, and she was thinking I should be chaste, and Prabhupada said, no, you don't stay with him. Now he's left, and he's in sense gratification. You don't stay with him.
Mm-hmm. He said the same to Yamuna. It's good that you've left your husband. In that book, he said, because of that deviated.
Right. He didn't want us to, you know, die living with a husband that's an alcoholic or not following the principles. Bhagavatam says that. Chaitanya Charitamrita says that. Patim cha patitam tyajyat. If your husband is fallen, you should leave him.
Yeah.
You shouldn't stay with him.
Isn't weakness and insincerity two different things? I mean, if somebody's deviated, if somebody is weak and the other pulls away, then they've no sense.
But how Prabhupada did it was that we were mothers, we had children, and we were wives, and we followed. We were following our traditional roles at the same time. We were preaching and doing other things too. Deity worship, preaching. It was both. It's not like either or. It's not like either. We were doing both at the same time. Mm. We were following our husbands, and we were at the same time doing deity worship and all kind of things.
It was a little like that in Ireland, but about 30 years ago. And Ananda Roy used to go on Sankirtan with the Back to Godhead magazines and the children on their back.
In America too. They would have the children. Still now there's one devotee I know in Australia. She has three little girls. And she was a big book distributor after
Karina,
and
Karina.
Before and after. What's her name?
Karina.
Oh, there's another one.
Yeah.
There's another one.
Krishna
Rupa. Not Krishrupa? Is it Krishrupa? Yeah. Yeah, she's out there with her three little girls distributing books with her husband. They both were big bushes, so they travel together now. And they distribute with the whole family.
Now, that's funny, because Dharma Shetu Prabhu was also very big in Soho Street. And he's married to Karina Karina.
Oh.
They're both Sri Ramaswami disciples, and they live in, I think it's New Zealand actually, but they've only recently started going back with the children. And they go out on the
book. Right. So we'll stop here. All glories to Shri Prabhupada. Hare Krishna. Thank you. Shamalai, don't forget your recorder.